Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group, and we're located just north of I-94 between 164 and Highway F in Ridgeview Corporate Park. We're also in the village of Whitefish Bay, and we also are in the great have a great opportunity to service our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. If you'd like to put a face with a voice, or if you'd like more details, you can go to ellenbecker.com. I have two guests today, and it's actually really very exciting for me because it's something that I have really experienced both in my world of Ellenbecker Investment Group as well as in my charity, Pillows with Wings. And today we're going to talk about business, and today I want to introduce you to Scott Seafelt, who is the president of Titus Talent, and with his partner, Jonathan Reynolds, who is the CEO, to talk about the importance of having the right people in the seat in your business. And so welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
You know, Scott, I've known you for a very long time, and we've had the opportunity to sit down and talk about Titus Talent. And Jonathan, you and I are new friends, and I'm always curious because I know when I started Ellenbecker Investment Group, I started it because I thought that there was a different way, a unique way that I could service my clients and bring better opportunities to them. So I'm always curious, why did you, the two of you, decide to start Titus Talent?
Yeah, it's great. Hey, thanks first for having us on the show here. It's good to see you face to face. We're over Zoom right now, but it was born out of a part frustration with a prior model, but really a deep desire to do things differently in the hiring space. And it wasn't. I think sometimes it's easier to say we want to be different, but not just different for different sake. It was more different because I think there's an opportunity to really improve things and looking at a century-old industry, which I think in large part has been done very, very much the same. And so it was to create a model where we can act as a true partner to our clients' team, really blending performance, culture, and purpose into every hire. And I think with the different generations in the workforce and some of the shifting natures of the different, the younger generation, which are really swallowing up a large part of the workforce, understanding the psyche and the upbringing of this generation, which, by the way, we created this sort of problem of the younger generation. And now we're trying to manage that and figure out what motivates, what drives, what makes people join organizations, what makes them stay, what makes them overperform and underperform and get the teams working together. So really, it was born out of a frustration and me talking to Scott saying, this is really, you know, it's been done so poorly. Can't we do this differently and do it better? And so this whole, idea of doing things new and different, but really re-engineering it. So that's where Titus Talent Strategies came from.
And Scott, what are your thoughts on that?
No, that's exactly right. And prior to Titus Talent, there was my former company was a consulting firm specializing in forensics auditing and internal audit and special projects. And I kept getting asked for years, hey, Scott, can you help me find a CFO? Can you help me find a controller, et cetera, et cetera? And I said, no, one of my strengths finders is focus. And I said, we're a consulting firm. We don't do recruiting. And I actually went to a Vistage speaker. I'm part of Vistage, which is part of the President CEO Roundtable. It's an international organization. And they brought in a speaker and she said, you need to listen to your clients. They'll tell you where they want you to go. And I realized, bam, I just got hit over the head by a 2x4
A
and saying,
spiritual
I'm
two
not,
by four.
yeah, exactly. And I'm not listening. And so that sent me on kind of a journey to, and that's how Jonathan and I met.
Wow, that's wonderful. You know, Jonathan, you said something earlier, bringing teams together. And I'd really like to talk about that because there's so much I'm learning because I'm working with your firm in finding an executive director as well. And I have to admit, in my world, because I didn't do the hiring either for Ellen Becker Investment Group, it was like just hire somebody to fill a seat. But it's expensive to do that if you don't get the right people in the seat. But I never thought about the teams of it. You look at it in such a broader scope. So can you talk a little bit about, how important it is to get that right person in the seat? And it's not just putting someone in that seat, but it goes all the way from the president to the company to the team leaders. I mean, it's bigger.
Yeah.
It's a big job.
Yeah, I think it's such a rare, we talk about seats and we do talk about seats at Titus often, like getting the right person in the right seat as if it's like very individualistic, like we have an empty seat, but it's more like a big bench that everybody's connected to one another. And like, it's all like siblings on a couch, like, oh, he's touching me, he's touching me. Like they're so integrated. And when we hire people in our companies, it's yes, there needs to be clarity around what that empty role is or the empty seat needs to do, achieve, and accomplish, which I think is absolutely important, bringing definition to the performance outcomes and impacts of an individual role. But then recognizing that they touch other roles in an organization. That old adage, people don't leave companies, they leave their manager. Or it's really, they leave the people around them. It's the people around them that will make them stay, perform well, or leave. And so, and that's tough to look at as a leader when somebody leaves, they're like, okay, that person's disengaged or whatever, they found a better option. But when we bring them into the organization, it's how they all integrate together. And so at Titus is one of those things that is really right in the in a front and foremost view for us is it's yes, it's the individual, but how they work with other teams. We even have a team called talent optimization, which is how do you optimize the talent that you actually have? How do you take a real audit of what you've got and where are the gap, what's the gap analysis to get you to where you need to be? And it's not just individual roles, it's actually functioning as a team because high performing teams, they have all of the great dynamics of trusting one another, knowing one another's roles, knowing one another's unique abilities and superpowers. It's one of the things that Scott and I talk about often. It's like he'll sometimes give me a nudge and be like, hey, go do that thing that only you do really, really well. And likewise, I'll do the same for him. I'll sort of shrink back and be like, Scott, you do that thing that you do really well. But it's understanding and recognizing and honoring one another, and it's how teams work well together. I think we're not in a certainly right now. We're not in a season of an economic season, if you will. Well, the luxury just to hire anyone and tell them they need to be thankful for having a job. It's getting the right people in for the right amount of impact. You may have heard this stat that if you get a top performer in the right seat, working well with their connected team members, they can produce and generate up to 400 times more productivity than an average performer in the same role. Like, whoa, that right hire can accelerate your company's growth, and the wrong one can really slow it down. And so I'm like, well, when I hear something like that, I'm like, I want that. How do I get a whole bunch of 400 percenters? And that's where it gets us going, the psychology of that, understanding the diagnostic of it, and getting teams to really, A, get the right people in the right roles, but then get all the teams functioning well together. So,
When you
yeah.
talk about that on the other side of it, then if you do hire the wrong person, it really has a ripple effect through the whole organization.
Yeah. It's, I think it's the it was the US Department of Labor that estimating the cost of a bad hire was 30% of somebody's first year earnings. Now, we do a lot of leadership or critical role hiring through our organization. And I think it's about 6,000 people we've recruited in the last 5 years and placed at companies across North America. But the I think Gallup polls that go a little bit further, and they estimate it's somewhere between 1.5 and 2 times. And then the Society of Human Resources goes even further and says it's 5 times the cost of the person's first year salary of a bad hire on a leadership level, because leaders touch a lot more in the organization. Scott mentioned Vistage. Vistage put out a stat saying over half of executive hires fail in the first 18 months. And you think, whoa, can you imagine the impact? Executives failing and all of the leadership that they're supposed to bring, and they failed, the disengagement through whole team. You're like, wow, it's astronomical, the cost of bad hiring. And then the big question is, why are we so bad at hiring?
I remember reading something a few years ago that said that corporations take someone that has been so productive in one department because they think that they can move that person to another department and they're going to succeed in the same way, but it almost always fails. And now they've lost a good top person because they've moved them rather than getting the right person in the right seat. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, Scott, you can.
Yeah, absolutely. We see that regularly. And a lot of the costs that Jonathan is mentioning is just real cost. It does not include the lost opportunities of getting ahead on the front
end, yes,
like he said. So it's compounded that much more when you look at lost opportunities.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. That is so true. So let's take a quick break. And we've been talking about all the, you know, the cost of it. Let's dig into how to really approach. If you're out there listening on the radio and you're thinking, I need to hire somebody and we've got to get somebody in this place, what are some of the things people need to consider, and why do people, I think a lot of times people think that they can just do it themselves. So let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. I have two guests today, and I have Jonathan Reynolds, who is the CEO, and Scott Seafield, the president of Titus Talent. And we're talking about something that I think is really important, and we're going to get to the point of, you know, what do people expect when they're being hired? And I know going through COVID, people want to work at home. People want to work at the office. Earlier, my guest Jonathan talked about teams working together. And I love the visualization of people sitting on a couch and saying, don't touch me, don't touch me, pushing away, because I can just see that, you know, I can visualize that. But the reality is now we don't even have people in offices. So, you know, it's a whole nother change in the environment of how people are working. But I know that often, and I know for myself, when somebody leaves, there's this panic sets in, and immediately I think, oh, I'm just going to do it myself and try and hire someone myself. But yet I know that that's a challenge for organizations. And we at Ellenbecker have made the decision that I know I hire people that are just like me, and we don't need anybody more like me. We need some real worker bees. But can you help me to understand, or help my listeners to understand, what some of those challenges are that organizations face when they're trying to make that decision? Should we hire somebody? Should we just do it ourselves and go out on LinkedIn? I mean, what are some of the things that you can help us visualize and see?
Yeah, I think I'll chime in, and Scott can add as well. I think often as leaders, we can react in the moment to crisis, and we go into solve mode. And so somebody resigns and you get that email, or a manager tells you like, oh, so-and-so my team resigned. You're like, oh no, what are we going to do now? And we go into react mode, and hey, human resources or some version of that in our company, somebody grab the job description and slap it online and get somebody to apply, and we react quickly Sometimes out of our own emotion or our own feeling like we failed or something like that, or just we're trying to shore up the foundation so nobody else leaves in the organization. And that's very reactive versus actually taking a step back and saying, okay, what do we actually need? What does the business need to get where we're trying to get to? And if the business was to hit all of its wild dreams and the business plan in the next 1, 2, and 3 years, who are we going to need on our team to get us there? What needs to be done and who are these people that we need to bring in and how are they connecting with one another? So slow down a little second here and have an approach, which is a strategic approach and following. And then what's our process to do that? Because if you don't have a process in place, I shared a stat earlier about Vistage and over half executive hires failing in the first 18 months. They went on to say, due to a lack of process in hiring. You think, so it's a reactive, non-process-based hiring. So a gut hiring, if you will. Oh, I know somebody I used to work with. And so we kind of go on what we've done, known in the past, versus actually go, what do we really need here and what's our approach? And I think that's one of the things just as leaders to slow down and say, what's the process? We had a client who actually came to us recently and they said, all right, we've got a big turnover in this one area. It's one part of our business. It's the core sort of producers, if you will, the worker bees you mentioned. And they said, we've got real high turnover. Can you go and hire another 15 people like this for us in the next 6 months? And we said, all right, slow down. Let's do an audit and find out why you have high turnover. And it was almost like, oh, I never even thought about asking that question. It's like, well, let's find out why there's an issue before just trying to refill the leaky bucket. You know, we can't fill the leaky bucket because it will just keep going. Let's find it. So we actually did an audit. We said, let's interview your top 10 people and let's interview 10 people who've left the organization and figure out what's the discrepancy. We came back with data and said, here it is. And it was actually a structure issue within their organization. If they just made a couple of tweaks and turned these into two different roles, they'd keep everybody and high producing and top performing people as well. So we were able to fix that issue, replace all of those people and so stop the leak. But it was like a process, structure, and all starting with vision. And I think that's one of the things that Scott, I'm talking as if I'm a process person, I am not. Scott is brilliant at bringing structure and process and building the organization really well. And we work very well together in that. But I very much appreciate that we're not just haphazardly going and responding and reacting for our clients, filling roles. That's not what we do. That's why we're a talent strategy company, not a recruiting company who does a heck of a lot of recruiting. But we help with strategy. So we're fixing the real problem. So, yeah.
So Scott, leadership really does play a major role in the whole idea of retention of employees. And nobody who, you know, it's like, who do you blame if people are leaving? You know, it's not maybe the manager, maybe it's actually coming from the top leadership.
It could be a variety of things. It could be top leadership. It could be the manager. We see that quite often where, you know, people will leave a manager versus a company and even a culture. You can have a great culture, but if you have a bad manager who's not adhering to the culture, that could be a real real challenge, a real issue. So I think it's a really good part or point rather to define the seat, we call it, as part of our process. So rather than just go into reaction mode and say, I lost A, I need to rehire A, we say, as Jonathan was mentioning, take a step back and define the seat. What does the organization really need? Because oftentimes there might be things that can be parceled off from that employee, and there's a different need that the organization really has. And that can have a big impact on some of the things you're touching on, Karen, which is, some of those leadership things are now getting filled. Maybe if the organization has this need, the leaders are seeing that other things are getting done that maybe falls on their plate. So I think really taking that step back and defining the seat is a good thing to do when you're in kind of scramble mode.
Is there any signs that a business owner or manager can identify with when they see that things are going sideways before they lose a bunch of employees, or when they're trying to determine who should be in that seat. You know, a lot of times as businesses, we start out and we've defined our seats and what we need, but we haven't really kept up with what's happened in our business. And we keep thinking that the same seats are there, but there's new seats that we, it's sort of like, I always would say that nobody wants anyone to change their baby's clothes. And, you know, as a business owner, you can get stuck in that mode without recognizing you don't have to change their clothes or lose the why of your business, but you have to grow it and you have to add additional seats to the company. And so I think often people don't recognize that.
Yeah, I'll touch on a few comments, Jonathan, and then you can add to it, please. But I think we encourage people to really, how often are you having one-on-one discussions with your employees? We also encourage skip levels. If the employee does not report to you, Jonathan, for example, often does skip levels in our company, just a level down or even two levels down, just to check in with people. How are you doing? What are you seeing? How are you feeling? And you get a real pulse on things from that. We happen to be a remote company or a mobile company, and so we can't just walk the floor and say, "Hi, how's it going?" For those organizations that have that, we really encourage that. Another great tool is instead of having the annual review, we encourage quarterly conversations. So, how are they doing against their metrics? How are they hitting their goals, objectives? What about their personal goals and their performance, where they want to go? Having those discussions on a quarterly basis is really, really important. And we see far too many companies doing that annually. That's just not enough in today's world. So would encourage that. The other thing that we encourage our clients to do is an employee survey. We do ours quarterly. And the reason we do it quarterly is we get great feedback, and we get urgent feedback and quick feedback that, hey, if there are things that we need to tweak in our company, we get that feedback. If you do that annually, or I hear some companies might do it once every 2 years, that's not enough. People can be really, the amount of discouragement that can happen in an organization happens quicker than 2 years. So doing those employee surveys, I think, is a really effective tool. Jonathan, your thoughts?
High turnover in a department, that's a big sign. Like, if it's an unusual turnover in one area versus others, it might be a certain role in the company that you have a high turnover in this one role. You think, well, why is that? Like, I want to find out what that is. So rather than just going, replace that person, going, if there's a sign right here or low team morale, which you might get just from conversations, just people just feeling the lack of hope, the lack of vision. I mean, the last few years have been very odd economically for many industries, and people trying to figure out what's going on, and it's unusual, and it can feel like uncharted territory. There's no playbook for it. But to ask questions like, how are you feeling morale-wise? How are you feeling about the future? I did, as Scott mentioned, skip levels. I was speaking to some. I chose kind of a position in the company, and I just wanted to interview a handful of people in there. So I just got some time on the calendar. I said, how are you feeling about the future? How are you feeling about our current positions? How are you feeling about the changes we've been making? Do you feel hopeful about the future? And it was interesting just to like get people's take on it. Like, oh, I definitely feel hopeful about the future. I'm like, well, that's good, because if people are not feeling hopeful, they're going to be way more disengaged and way more likely to take the phone call by a recruiter and go somewhere else. I think if you do the anonymous feedback, the employee engagement surveys, which are usually anonymous, if you do that, I think it's really, really important that you're transparent with the results and responses. People are not going to give feedback if they feel like it's just going to go into a black hole. You can go, well, we do surveys. Like, great, what do you do about it? No one's going to be honest if you're just going to, so if it falls on deaf ears, or if they
Bury
don't, they're
it.
not feeling like they're a part of the solution. And so we'll do focus groups and saying, hey, we recognize this is an issue. It was all anonymous, but if you would like to be a part of the solution, we have a group here. Just put your name in the hat and respond here. Show up to this meeting at this time. And we would love to hear feedback and ideas of how to improve this area. And then we come back to the whole company 3 months later and say, Here's what all the teams suggested, and here's what we're doing about it. And so people actually feel like they're a part of the solution of the future of the company. It becomes more of an ownership, and I think that's really important as well. So they're not HR issues. These are leadership signals. And so I think leaders need to listen for the signals, and we can be numb to that. You know, if you live in a – I remember moving to the Midwest of the United States, and suddenly we hear these tornado sirens and things like that. Like, what is that? You know, like, is it air raid? Are we being bombed? What's happening? You're like, no, they're just testing the tornado warnings. Oh, it's just a test. How do you know if it's a test or if it's real or not? Like, we have to tune ourselves to these signals and go, okay, is that something that is just a test, or it's an individual, or is it actually this is a warning and it's happening to multiple people? And I think recognizing that people come and people go all the time. We talk about, you know, we take Jim Collins's, you know, get the right people in the right seats on the bus. But recognize that not everyone's going to the same destination. People come, people go, that's okay. But if it's a whole group or a department or a role in the company, listen to that signal and say, maybe if we're going to get our destination, if we want to reach our destination, we might have to shuffle some things around here. Even though it's not my preference, I do want people to be engaged and perform well, so we're going to make some tweaks. And I think that's where it becomes a leadership signal rather than just an HR issue.
My guest today is Scott Seafield, and he is the president of Titus Talent, and Jonathan Reynolds, who is the CEO. And we've been talking about just the importance of really understanding, I think, having an awareness when you're looking to either initiate a new position or fill a position. And I was wondering, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, it would be really interesting to have an idea of what are people out there in the world looking for in a job? I mean, why are they moving? What are they looking for? Let's talk about that when we get back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My two guests today are Jonathan Reynolds and Scott Seafield. They're with Titus Talent, and we've been talking about, you know, the importance of having the right people on the bus. And I know that all the people that I know that are business owners, I mean, I love my employees and I want them to be happy. But the world changes. And what made my employees happy when I started my company in 1996 is completely different than what I think employees often are looking for now. Can you talk a little bit about that? What people are looking for in a job, in a boss, in a career, in a future?
I think we're seeing a big shift with the different generations in the workforce right now, what people value. And it's easy to just kind of say, everybody's looking for this. Well, they're not, everyone's different. So you need to ask, you know, what do you value? Asking those questions. If you want people to stick in your organization, you better find out what's important to them and not make an assumption. But there are some generalizations that we can see, and from statistics and loads of reports of engagement reports, et cetera, nationally. Values are really, really important more than ever. It's not just about a paycheck. You know, people want to be seen and developed. They want to know, do you value me and do you value my future or just your own company? So I think it's actually understanding what's important to the people that you have the privilege of leading in your company. So it's a privilege that they choose to work with us because people have choices. So understanding what's valuable to them. Flexibility, I think it's a huge part that's come up over the last 5 or 10 years. Give me the flexibility to manage my own life. Things like being able to go and be present at kids' games and things like that. Like, that's been a huge value shift. Meaning and purpose. In the world that transcends just the company or the company ownership. So if you're knowing that it's just, is it just about the shareholders making more money, or is it just about the owner of the company and the executive or the business partners getting their next vacation home or their next yacht? That doesn't really inspire or motivate the majority of people. So knowing that there is a, when the company's had a great year or a great quarter, who does that benefit? And it's not just about profit sharing for me, it's do I trust that you actually care about things bigger than yourself? And so I think some people call it giving back, or, you know, supporting their communities and things like that. That really motivates people, especially if you can tap that into the things that your employees care about. I think that's, there's a big part, but I think in the past it's probably a bit more a title and paycheck. Now it's about purpose and impact. Now, you cannot discount the importance of money. And people work because they want to get paid. So you can't say we're really generous and underpay your people. Everyone can see through that. You've got to give us. You've got to pay me at market or above market, and then you can start, you know, cheering about how you're being generous. So there's a few things that I've seen around mission, role, and purpose.
I really like that idea, though, that your employees are modeling themselves after who you are. You can't say that we give back to the community and all that and not treat them with the same type of respect and value that even we always say we want to treat our employees the same way we treat our clients with white gloves. You know, we want to treat them. We want them to feel that they're just as important. And I think that's it. What you're also saying is that people want to know that they're part of the growth of the company and that they're valued, that they're going to make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in fact, one of the things that is very interesting when we walk into many organizations is we'll ask them, what are your core values? And they actually don't know. They have to look at the poster on the wall. And what we say is, you need to hire based, if you believe in those core values, you need to hire and fire based on those core values. And that's one of the things that it's really obvious when we walk in, and that has a big part of culture as well. But it's something that is one of the first things we look at. And it's amazing how many organizations really don't know their core values. It's surprising.
Or
and
maybe
so,
don't have any, or maybe don't have any written down.
Or they don't live by them. They may have them written down, but they oftentimes don't live by them. And so I think Jonathan brings up a really good, one of the things that we encourage our clients, and it's part of our process, we call it our hire for performance process. And Karen, we talked about this when we were talking about pillows with wings. And our hire for performance, a quick tool that your listeners could use, we call the head, heart, and briefcase, which we want to change the backpack because only an old guy like me had a briefcase once upon a time. But the head is, how do people think and behave? What are their work behaviors? It's not personality, but it's work behaviors. And then you get into the heart. So the heart are those core values. How do those align? Organizations have core values. Individuals have core value. So what's the alignment there? But it also gets very deeper into what drives you, what motivates you, et cetera. And then the third component is really is the briefcase. And so those are your skills, your competencies. Oftentimes that's what organizations really look for. They look for the briefcase or the backpack, but they miss the heart. They miss the head. All three of those show up on day one. And so we encourage your listeners to look at all three, because that will help define success with people, you know, going forward.
You know, I think we're going to take a quick break right now and go to our last session, because I would like you to really talk about how you are. You've been mentioning things, but how are you different? And what you're talking about now, the head, the heart, and the briefcase, really sets you apart from the way other agencies maybe work when they're searching. So when we come back, let's talk about the uniqueness of what you do and how people, if they want to, can get in touch with you to learn more. But particularly, how can you uncover different talent that somebody maybe wouldn't be able to find on their own, what your process is? And I think the confidentiality and how you work is extremely important as well. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. We've been talking about, you know, the real value in understanding how important it is to have leadership and to really think about the person and the position that you're hiring. And one of the things I've asked both of my guests, Jonathan Reynolds and Scott Seafield with Titus Talent, is to simplify the process for my listeners, to make it, you know, an easy, easy process. And I know that when we're hiring, it isn't always easy to understand, but I can tell you from my own personal experience that Titus Talent is really amazing, and they have made the process that I'm going through quite simple. So Jonathan and Scott, can you kind of talk a little bit about how unique it is what you do and how you simplify it and the way you can do it differently than maybe in-house hiring could be?
Yeah, sure. It's funny. I always think it's really easy, isn't it? But that's our world. That's what we're doing every single day for companies. It seems really simple. I think probably the big part is when we're really honest, most of us are not that good at hiring people. Like, we go with bias, we go with our gut, we go with familiarity over actually a process. And many companies don't have a really good process that they're able to say it works. And so that's where we come in. We come in as not a outsourced partner, but the key word is partner. Like, we'll do it with you. We'll show you how to do this. And we'll actually help you with the process to get it better. Now, most people just say, can we just pay you to do it? Yes, you can. We would much rather work on journey alongside you and actually show you how we do what we do so that you can get better at it. So one is we bring in an objectivity to a process and to a reach. And so internal teams who usually go about hiring, like post, we call it post and pray. So posting an ad and pray that the right person applies. I think that's fine, but it really is only tapping into about 15% of the workforce, because the rest of them are actually working and heads down doing, making great impact. For us, we're exclusively tapping into that group who are not going to find you. So we're going to go and find those who are working. So we call them passive candidates. I mean, they're not passive people, but they're passively looking. Like, they're not considering opportunities, but if the right opportunity was presented to them, they're listening. 8 out of 10 will say, well, I would listen if the opportunity was truly superior. And so we're like, great, let's find out what would be truly superior then. You know, and if that lines up with where our clients are wanting to go and what they're trying to do, great, now we're in a conversation with somebody. So passive candidate recruitment is really, I think, is a huge part that we bring to the table. We're not rummaging through an old database of resumes. We just never have. And so the other is, I think, you know, being a performance-driven, purpose-led, people-centric organization, we understand context of how things connect to one another. And so helping companies tie in where they are going to get the right people to get them there, I think that sort of stepping aside and looking from a bird's eye view is really helpful. Because it's asking the right questions as opposed to just get me a resume that matches my job description.
Often when I'm on the phone and I'm talking to gentlemen, they use football analogies or baseball analogies, but I'm going to throw you out my analogy. And one of the things that I recognized early on in working with you is it's like going out to buy a new outfit or a dress, and the lady tells you it looks great on you, but you kind of look at it and know it's not so great, you know, and maybe it isn't, and they're telling you just to buy. But really, when I've worked with you, one of the things that I have been so impressed with is that the way you do your talent searching, you run them through a process and you come back and tell me what are the things that I should explore more. I heard this, I heard that. This much aligns with what you've said, but there's a little bit here that doesn't maybe align. And here's where we want to do some research. And when we talk and do an interview, you actually help me to understand by the process you go through the things that I need to think about clearly. And when I do that interview, to maybe ask those questions that deal with that particular area. So it's not like you're just telling me the dress looks great, Karen.
And it's probably comparing ourselves to a match.com or online dating service is probably not probably a bit too crass. But if we were compared to one of those, it would be, we're going to make the match, but we're also going to stay involved and make sure that you end up getting married. And we're going to make sure that it all works really well and you become a really good parent one day. You know, it's kind of like, seriously? Like, yeah, we're involved like that. Like, It's not just finding the match about day one, which that's how this goes back to where I how we launched the company. Like, we're not going to do things like the traditional recruiting companies that care about filling a role on day one, then we get a big check. We actually said, we're not going to pay recruiters commission because they'll be motivated by day one. We're actually want to be motivated by day 365, meaning we're the only company that I know of who stay involved all the way through the first year, making sure, A, that person is performing well in the way you're going to pay them 100% of their compensation, and they should deliver 100% output and performance. And we're going to stay involved in making sure that works. And we're going to make sure they work well with the team around them. So we're going to optimize the current talent. We're going to do some assessments on the team. We're going to do some workshops in there. Like, really? Yeah, because we recognize it's not just a butts in seats. We actually recognize how those people interact with other people is really, really important for the success of the company. So we get involved there. So I think it's unusual. Our entire post-hire process is really important as well, all the way through to the anniversary day.
We refer to that, by the way, as our high-tech, high-touch. So we are very versed. We have some proprietary AI tools that we use on our clients. We call our clients partner searches. But it's imperative, as Jonathan's mentioning, you have to have that high touch. You need to understand the people side of it, which you have to have both components working very well together.
Scott, for my listeners that are out there that are contemplating that they need to fill some positions and they are a little bit stuck. Maybe they've done a lot of their own research and they just haven't come up with the right person. How do they interact with you and how do they reach out to you and what does that process look like?
Sure. We would love to have a conversation with them. They can visit our website, which is www.titustalent.com. So one word, titustalent.com. Jonathan and I, as well as our leadership team, is out there. They can reach out to Jonathan or myself. We'd love to have a conversation with you.
And you're not just in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You're national.
That's true. We have a little under 150 employees in 25 states across the country. So we are really doing coast-to-coast recruiting. We do a lot of executive and leadership positions, as well as a mid-level as well in a variety of different industries. We do a lot in manufacturing, distribution, we're in construction, obviously not-for-profit, and 31 industries in total. So our process and the way we go about it is a bit agnostic to the industry, and it's more about finding the people, the right people.
When you are talking with a potential client, is it a long process? Well, I know what it is, but I want you to share from your perspective. How do you sit down and help that client to get that confidence that, you know, this is the right direction to go? What are the types of things that you're helping them? You know, it's always about coming up with a solution with something. And the other thing that I can say is I get a weekly newsletter on something that helps me about my company. I mean, you do education as well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I think just one is not engaging with a company just, oh, here we got one. Like everything's good. Like Scott used the word partnership. And we take that really seriously. We call it our promise, and our promise is that anyone who works with us will be so overly satisfied with working with us that they're going to refer us to another organization. And I say the word promise because it becomes personal to every one of our team members. And so because it's a promise, you know, we recognize that we got to dig in there and make sure it's really a good match to partner with the organization right on the outset. So we don't want to promise something that we can't deliver. So the sort of the discussions and the audit on the front end is really important. Are we going to be a good partner? And the other part is we have a responsibility when we're going out and recruiting somebody from an organization where they're happily and gainfully employed and saying, come on over here, potentially, and make a big career move. We want to make sure for our own integrity that we're doing the right thing for that person. We'd hate to bring somebody over and then suddenly find out that the organization's, terrible culture and all these, in incongruencies. So we want to make sure it's all really good for all parties. And so I think the front end auditing, making sure it's a good partnership, is really, really healthy.
What would you each like to leave? We have just less than a minute left. What would you each like to leave with my listeners today?
Well, we view ourselves as the name of the company, Titus Talent Strategies. We're more than just recruiting. We're here to help you with your talent needs, whatever they might be.
Any people issues that you have that are impeding you for hitting your company's growth, we are up for the conversation. And if we're not the ones to help you, we are rich, rich in connections and other relationships with solution providers, and we can help connect you. So we're in the people problem business. Somebody said, "Oh, you're kind of like in transportation. You take the company from here to here." And I'm like, "No, I guess that's one way. Like, we're going to transport your company to a different area." I'm like, "Sure, if you want to call it that, that's a bit weird." But we want to help you accomplish your goals, all things people related.
Thank you both so much. And my guests today have done a great job of explaining some of the things that are really important in terms of looking at your employees, Jonathan Reynolds and Scott Seafield with Titus Talent Strategies. And I want to thank you again, both of you. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a really great week. Bye-bye.